A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they imagined that the kingdom of God was going to show itself then and there. Accordingly, he said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to be appointed king and afterwards return. He summoned 10 of his servants and gave them 10 pounds. Do business with these, he told them, until I get back. But his compatriots detested him and sent a delegation to follow him with this message: we do not want this man to be our king. Now on his return, having received his appointment as king, he sent for those servants to whom he had given the money to find out what profit each had made. The first came in and said, sir, your 1 pound has brought in 10. Well done, my good servant, he replied. Since you have proved yourself faithful in a very small thing, you shall have the government of 10 cities. Then came the second and said, sir, your 1 pound has made 5. To this one also, he said, and you shall be in charge of 5 cities. Next came the other and said, sir, here is your pound. I put it away safely in a piece of linen because I was afraid of you, for you are an exacting man. You pick up what you have not put down and reap what you have not sown. You wicked servant, he said, out of your own mouth I condemn you. So you knew I was an exacting man, picking up what I have not put down and reaping what I have not sown. Then why did you not put my money in the bank? On my return I could have drawn it out with interest. And he said to those standing by, take the pound from him and give it to the man who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, but sir, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to everyone who has will be given more. But from the man who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This morning, my wife and I were driving through a tiny village nearby, which has become known for its scarecrow festival at this time of the year. Everyone from school pupils to farmers creates a scarecrow, sometimes whole groups of scarecrows. And along the side of the road, we saw a scarecrow family Christmas party, a scarecrow stakeout by police on a drug house, a scarecrow ballroom scene. In my country, we have just had an election, and there was a ribald scarecrow comment involving a certain politician and a trash can. It's all fun, of course. But it says something, too, about our need to invent pictures of aspects of our world. Maybe it helps us remember or make sense of things. Maybe that's what art is all about. And if we sometimes need to do that for our own world, how much more do we need to find ways of understanding the world beyond? There are two pretty major questions that exercise the minds of many Christians. The first one is, what is heaven, or its alternative, what is the kingdom of God? And the second is, how do I get there? The fact is, we have great difficulty in conceiving what heaven is like. Is it the paradise of 72 virgins that Islamic martyrs trust in? A pretty juvenile concept, that one, you'd think. Buddhists talk of nirvana. Jews of Sheol, the place of the dead. Hindus try to find freedom from the endless cycle of birth and death and reach moksha. Catholics to talk of eternal life and the beatific vision of God. But it is all a real problem trying to conceive of a life after death that can't be defined. It's not like being asked to describe the Everglades or the city of Paris. What human beings have tried to do right through the ages is to talk about heaven in metaphors. Heaven is a place of green pastures. In heaven I shall see God. In heaven is perfect peace. And none of these things is adequate as a definition. They're a bit like signposts to a city. They help us on the way, but they are quite inadequate in showing us the truth of the city. Even Jesus could not define heaven or the kingdom of God in human terms. He said a lot about it, but it was always along the lines of the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, a banquet, a vineyard. And if Jesus was forced to rely on signposts and pictures, it's not surprising that down the ages other people have also tried to look for other ways of giving the human experience of what heaven might be like. This week we have been reading pieces from the Apocalypse with its extraordinary visions of God and the Day of Judgment and heaven. Now, of course, we do need these metaphors to help us give a sense of important things that are beyond our comprehension. But let's not mistake the metaphor for the real thing. And let's not misinterpret the metaphor, because that's a danger. It's a danger in today's gospel reading. I think this is an important reading because it comes just before Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem and all that goes on there. And on first reading, today's gospel seems to take the ultimate capitalist approach to the kingdom of God. The kingdom, the king, expects his disciples to maximize the profit on his investment so that his power and wealth are multiplied, and the disciple who thinks it prudent not to risk losing the investment, but simply secure it, is punished. Even if we interpret this with the king being Jesus, it makes for a rather unpleasant story. But I think this story really is something of an answer to that second question that often puzzles Christians. How do I reach the kingdom of God? It's clear in the story that the King Jesus has had an arduous journey to travel to establish God's kingdom. And he wants to give everyone an opportunity to be there with him, to share in the divine gift. But to earn that opportunity, we cannot just sit back and wait. Life is about taking risks. Risks with our comfort, our time, our security, our self-esteem. And the pound that I have been given, what is it? Just myself. That's all. And it's enough. It's what I do with that gift, that investment that God has made in me, that matters. Shall I take the real path to the real heaven? Take the risk and live? Or shall I keep myself secure and not reach out for what is possible? Let me not end up as a scarecrow.